She used to be a politician. Now she's keeping them honest. Danielle Smith on 770 CHQR.
Brought to you by the Popowich Carmeli Advisory Group, CIBC Wood Gundy.
Ryan Jesperson in for Danielle Smith this week here, and it's always a pleasure and a real honor to broadcast into my hometown of Calgary. Got some interesting comments on the text line. I mean, some of the most moronic things that I've ever read in my life relating to mass shootings in the United States. But just because they're idiotic comments doesn't mean we won't read them on the air. So maybe we'll leave some time a little later on in the broadcast for that, taking you through till 12:30 today. Wanted to focus on some of the challenges that Albertans may face in attempting to purchase electric vehicles. If you pay attention to the trends, if you pay attention to the statistics, and if you listen to what car manufacturers are saying, you will quickly realize that Alberta is far from a priority market when it comes to so-called EVs. You want stats? Take a look at this. In the first quarter of this year, 2019, the total number of electric vehicles on the road in Canada cracked 100,000. 100,000 electric vehicles on the road in Canada. In Alberta, the number, just over 2,000. 2,200, in fact. About 2% of Canada's electric vehicles are on the road in Canada. William York is the director for the Electric Vehicle Association of Alberta. William, thanks for making time to talk to us.
Hey, always willing to.
What does that number say to you? Number one, the 100,000 sounds to me pretty impressive, like more and more Canadians are stepping outside the norm, so to speak. They're moving ahead into the future. But Alberta's just not part of that trend for the most part.
Yeah, I think it's representative of the models that are available, too. There's not a lot of large SUVs and trucks, and that tends to be what you see in lots in Alberta. So that tells me that's what Albertans are after.
I also saw a quote from Kia Canada, though, by way of communications manager Mark James, that said as the supply of vehicles grows, the company will expand into new markets, but Alberta is not a priority. And he listed a couple of reasons for that, said they focus limited availability of product on markets that offer incentives to consumers and also infrastructure to support the vehicles. Is that a fair assessment of where Alberta's lacking behind?
Yeah, I think there's a spectrum of challenges when it comes to buying an EV in Alberta. And yes, of course, provinces that already have incentives in place, your sales staff is going to work just a little bit less hard to land those sales, right? So because the incentive is doing a lot of the work for them, and there's strong communities there already taking advantage of the incentives. So it does make sense that Kia is giving that as a response. They're also supply constrained, which is something that you can kind of read in between the text that they gave you. They don't have enough vehicles to put in every showroom. So they're focusing on the easiest showrooms to sell those vehicles in.
Where in Canada is there a disproportionate number of electric vehicles on the positive side of the ledger? Where are more Canadians buying EVs than anywhere else?
BC, Ontario, and Quebec by far.
And why do you think that is?
Well, Ontario used to have a $14,000 rebate. Quebec, I think, now has a $5,000 provincial rebate, and BC has a $5,000 provincial rebate.
Do we have anything?
Alberta, no, but federally we have a $5,000 rebate for a pure electric vehicle.
So how does that work, William? I mean, if you purchase a vehicle, you submit the proper paperwork, or maybe they do it at the dealership for you, and you receive $5,000 off, or you're reimbursed $5,000. Is that how that works?
Dealership does everything, so you get it on the sticker price, which is really nice.
Okay. So yeah. Provincially, what would you say has qualified as astute incentive? I mean, with regards to, you know, proof of performance, what's a compelling argument for a provincial jurisdiction to, you know, essentially make a commitment to that?
Well, I would say that regardless of our oil and gas backdrop, electric vehicles are becoming the future. All major manufacturers of vehicles are saying that they will have electric or plug-in hybrids only in their fleet. So it's not a matter of politics, of climate change. It's a matter of being ready for the future. And we need to step up our infrastructure as EV adoption increases, and that's not going to happen overnight. So does Alberta want to be a decade behind BC and Ontario and Quebec? I don't think so. So it's it should be a nonpartisan issue, but it seems every conversation I have with media or with politicians that it does kind of boil down to that, and it shouldn't.
What, like people accusing you of being an enemy of oil and gas, is that it?
That tends to come up.
Well, what do you respond? I mean, you have the platform here, William. What's your response to that?
If you look inside every electric vehicle, there are still plastics, there are still polymers. So oil and gas has a healthy future. I would say that keeping carbon out of the air is probably a good thing for humanity. So I'm okay with plastics being developed because that carbon, it was in the ground anyway. So if it's locked up in plastic and just goes into a landfill when it's done its life cycle, I'm okay with that.
William, when we talk about infrastructure, I want to make sure that I'm not overlooking anything. And my working knowledge of electric vehicles is relatively basic. Are we just talking about charging stations? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, that is what I mean. Infrastructure is charging stations.
And typically, who is responsible for investing in and providing that infrastructure?
Well, because it's in its infancy, you've seen a lot of government involvement. So National Resources Canada has put together a $300 million fund that's coming out in phases over the next couple of years to fund EV charging infrastructure expansion. They've put in hundreds of fast charging stations all over Canada. They're really helping to build out the network. And I know people don't like the idea of the government subsidizing anything, which, newsflash, the oil and gas industry is heavily subsidized by the government. We just bought a $4.2 billion pipeline. But regardless of that fact, the government has always been involved in infrastructures. I go back to the railroads, I go back to the aviation industry, and our highways. Our highways are purely government-owned, and that, guess what? That's infrastructure for transportation. So it makes a lot of sense for government to be involved here. Private industry is getting involved in charging infrastructure. You're seeing installations from Flo, from Canadian Tire, from Petro-Canada, and from ATCO to build out charging infrastructure in Alberta.
Is this a standard plug? Is this like a 220-volt plug that fits every car, whether it's a Kia or a Chevrolet or a Tesla?
It's complicated. So there are two levels of charging, basically. There's level two, which is 240 volt, 30 amp. That has two types of chargers, J1772, which is basically kind of like USB is for computers. It's very universal. And then there's Tesla's proprietary standard. And then on the level three charging side, that's at 480 volts DC and starts at about 100 amps, but can go up way, way higher to 200, even 300 amps with liquid-cooled cables. And there's three charging standards there. But I think in the next 5 years, you'll see it narrow down to two. And that would be one that's called CCS and another that's called that Tesla owns.
You wonder if, I mean, even, and I don't think that this is thinking too abstractly, but I'd be curious to know, I mean, you know, we say that BC, Ontario, and Quebec is outpacing the rest of the country when it comes to the purchase of an ownership of electric vehicles. And I wonder if that might even start to, and maybe it's 10 years from now, maybe it's 20 years from now, maybe it's never, if that would even start to impact things like tourism through the prairie provinces. If you own an electric vehicle and that's all you own, but you can't charge it anywhere east of Chilliwack, I wonder if that might be, you know, an argument for investing in some of that infrastructure in Alberta. What do you think? Or is it too much of a stretch?
Well, as a Tesla owner myself, I can't travel east right now, so I travel into BC, into the west, because the charging infrastructure is developed out there by Tesla. So
yeah.
I think that's your theory in action, for sure. I definitely think that's a possibility.
What do you make of it'll be interesting to see. I mean, you note that the SUV and truck market, if you're just tuning in, we're talking to William York right now, a director for the Electric Vehicle Association of Alberta. Ford has bragged about the F-150 all-electric prototype being able to pull over 1 million pounds. GM has made a commitment on numerous occasions to make their entire fleet electric. How far away are we from seeing those on the lot? And let me get more specific. How far away are we from seeing these trucks on, you know, doing oil field service and hot shot and on construction sites?
Oh, we're very close. There is a guy, I hope he doesn't mind me plugging him, SEI Logistics out in Grand Prairie. He does oil field servicing, and he put a deposit down on the Tesla Semi. So he wants to use it for his business. He's run the numbers on it. I think he has a commerce background, so he's actually well-versed in the financials. And it made sense for him to put that deposit down. We're probably about 2 or 3 years from seeing the F-150s and the Dodges become fully electrified with a compelling price point and compelling ranges and with the production. So one thing that always gets skipped over is the global supply of battery materials is slowly being built out. The supply chains aren't fully developed yet. But in 2 to 3 years' time, with Ford F-150s being fully electric, I can tell you it's very cheap to own and operate an electric vehicle. I've put around 30,000 kilometers on mine, and I've only paid about $450 in electricity, and no oil changes, no spark plug replacements, no belt changes. Essentially, I've only changed my windshield wipers and my tires.
Ultimately, what will you'll have to replace your battery at some point, right?
So it is not the same as your iPhone battery. And this is one reason why it's difficult to buy an EV in Alberta too, because the dealerships aren't really educated on it. So once you start talking about batteries, you're talking about between an iPhone battery and an EV battery, a coulombic efficiency of 0.9995 versus 0.998 with an iPhone. And I know your viewers are probably scratching their heads right now. What the hell does that mean? Basically means that an EV battery is going to last a long time. Like we're saying, EV batteries right now are rated between 500,000 and 800,000 miles before they need replacement.
William, I'll tell you what, hang on a second, because we're getting bombarded with really great questions, and I'm intrigued by what you're saying. Will you hang tight through the break, and can we keep this going?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, we'll charge up. Pun fully, disgustingly intended. A dad joke, I can't help myself. More with William York from the Electric Vehicle Association of Alberta in just a moment. Ryan Jesperson in for Danielle Smith. We're talking electric vehicles in Alberta. Why are we so behind the rest of Canada, and does it matter? Back to William York in just a moment. But I'm curious to know why Jim dialed in. Jim, what's on your mind?
You know, Ryan, thank you very much for taking my call. I'm not sure if your guest mentioned, though, ATCO Energy is actually putting together a network in Alberta that's for the EVs. But, you know, I got my Tesla 6 weeks ago. I've got 7,000 kilometers on it. It's cost me $92 in energy. It got backed into the other day, and it's in the body shop. I just dropped it off this morning, and my heart is empty. I have not missed a car so much now that I'm back in gas. And you know what, Ryan, I'm not being funny. Once you experience driving an electric car, it is something else. It is quiet. It is fast. I'll tell you something. It is fast. You zip in and out of traffic. And you know what? You wake up every morning with a full tank of energy. I haven't been to a gas station in 6 weeks. I hated going to gas stations. My hands don't smell gassy anymore. Ryan, you take one for a drive.
I've been in Teslas. I've done 0 to 60 miles an hour in 2.5 seconds. I've seen what it feels like. I don't have one in my garage right now. You don't have to make the argument to me. I appreciate the passion in your voice. Are you telling me that $94 you spent, does that include what you're paying at your house to power up that car?
It's 6 cents a kilowatt hour. And if you work out the math, it's $92 is what I've spent. I think the thing is to remember is that, you know what, you don't have to. You can have a gas car, hybrid your life. If you're going to have two cars, make one of them electric. We use that car for everything. Our gas consumption has gone way down. Do we want to go on a holiday to Vancouver? Fine, we'll take the gas car. But around town, where 80 to 90% of your driving is, I mean, if you're a one car family, get a hybrid. But if you've got two or three cars, make one of them electric.
All right, Jim, I appreciate the call. Listen, that is the sound of conviction right there. William York, a director of the Electric Vehicle Association of Alberta. You can hear it in Jim's voice. He's in love with his new Tesla, I think.
Oh, yeah. He's a fanatic for sure.
Yes. Listeners were talking about this Tesla Semi. You were talking about this Tesla Semi. Does there have to be a sort of a change in attitude? Are some people just inherently going to be against the idea of an electric car in Alberta?
Yeah, for sure. There's always going to be people that just can't get past the, I mean, the internal combustion engine has been around for 100 years. So there's some deeply entrenched knowledge out there that has to be completely changed, right? This is like the internet or cell phones or smartphones. Like, it just completely changes people's understanding of locomotion. And there's some people that just are too entrenched in the old system and can't reframe their minds around the new.
I want to ask you about a couple things really quick. Is it viable, the idea of retrofitting gas-burning vehicles to electric? Is that a possibility down the line or no?
It makes sense if you have a classic, but if you're looking at a vehicle that's about 10 years old, it doesn't make sense. The new options for electric vehicles are just far too compelling. The systems are completely integrated. The frames have been designed for that low center of gravity. You get very little rollover and perfect handling, so it doesn't make sense to look at a retrofit.
How far are we away from batteries more reliable in extreme cold temperatures, William? You and I have spoken before. You've acknowledged that,
yeah.
You know, I mean, the battery life does die off significantly in the cold.
Well, I'll say that the battery range dies off in the cold, but actually colder temperatures prolong battery longevity. So folks in Canada and Alaska and elsewhere where our temperatures are typically below zero will have far better battery life than those in, let's say, Arizona or, you know, Sacramento, California, let's say. When it comes to cold weather performance, there's some advantages that get missed over. So an electric vehicle operates very similar to an electric hairdryer. So instant heat, right? Minus 40, the cabin's at plus 20 within, 3 minutes, I think I timed it.
Interesting point. Hey, yeah. Listen, William, I've got a break now. We're going to get to the headlines, but it's always nice to connect with you. I appreciate your perspective on this, and thanks for talking to us today.
Oh, anytime.
That's William York with the Electric Vehicle Association of Alberta, Calgary. We'll talk again tomorrow. Have a great afternoon.